This episode of the WW Review is sponsored by DVC-Rental.com.
Hello, welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a special guest today, Cindy Ellicott. Cindy, good morning. Thank you for joining me this early. I appreciate it.
Good morning, Chris.
So if you listen, you know that we record the dubs sometimes in the evening, sometimes in the mornings, but the morning recordings are always, I actually appreciate them almost more than the evening because you start off the day with a cup of coffee. You see your friends from all across the world and you talk Disney or you talk travel and it's just a good start to the day. So that being said, this is exceptionally early for Cindy. So if we have any yawns or if we have any interference, it's on me. It's definitely my fault. So what's in your cup this morning, Cindy? What are you drinking?
I am drinking Tim Hortons peppermint tea this morning, my morning go-to.
Nice. Okay. So this is early September. I've got my coffee and the weather's changing a little bit here in Chicagoland. What is the weather this morning up by you? What are you facing up there?
I got to do the translation. It's 7 degrees Celsius. So we're looking at about 35, 40, something like that.
Wow. So 30. The leaves are going to change very quickly if they haven't started already by you.
Already changing fast. Yeah. Yeah, wow. Different places I travel, it's a lot more than where it is right here, but it's happening fast. We've had a couple of cool days. I'm looking at a combine out my window right now. They're combining the canola across the field across the road from us.
Wow. So that's something that I can never get my brain wrapped around, is the moment that summer leaves and fall begins, and it seems to be like, bam, like overnight, all of a sudden you'll have this little stretch of cool weather and then it's cold. And then it's like, wait, when did the page turn? I don't recall the page turning. There it is. So anyways, we've got Cindy here to join us today. And when you think about shows, as we do show prep during the week, we think about what's on for Disney news. Can we do a Disney news show? Can we do something fun with Disney? Can we do a trivia show? Can we do some travel tips and prep? And we try to keep things fresh. When you've been on the air for as long as we have, you know, you get into the 400 X number of shows and you want to make sure you're not repeating shows. But one of the things that never gets old is talking about how to prepare for travel. So we approach this in a number of ways. Okay, is there car travel? What do we do for long distance car travel? And that could be from Maryland to Florida. That could be from Ohio to Florida, or even from like Denver to California. Okay, we can do car tips, we can do plane tips, but most of the people that we join with, they take single leg journeys. So they're literally boarding, they're boarding in West Virginia, they're landing in Sanford, and that's it. The plane trip's over. So it's not too hard to make a travel tip as far as you're going to bring a snack with you on the plane, you're going to bring a magazine, boom, 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 you're there, it's gone. But I thought about this and I realized Cindy is experienced in either excessively long car trips like me or multi-leg plane trips. So if you've not taken one before, I mean, you're literally going from city to city, boarding, unboarding, hopping on over really to the next plane, boarding that one, making sure that all your documentation is correct, perhaps different countries. It's incredibly comprehensive. So I figured a really good person to talk about some travel tips would be Cindy. And really, this kind of encompasses things that she knows now that she sure wishes she knew, because she'd been traveling a lot in the last, how many years have you really stepped up the travel, not including work? We're talking like longer destinations, Cindy.
So we were traveling about every 3-4 years up until 2019, and then it kind of picked up to a couple of times, and then 2020 was just once, then 2021 ended up being three times to Disney, 2022 ended up being five times to Disney. So yeah, it just picked up from there. In addition to, you know, a couple of trips across Canada to visit family and stuff like that. So
yeah, to talk about how we really think behind the scenes, there was a screenshot I shared with Cindy back, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago. And Tampa International Airport made a huge announcement that they're flying now direct to Calgary, right? It was a direct flight to Calgary. And I was so proud to share it with Cindy. Cindy, it's like the answer to your prayers. You don't got to take like three flights and...
Oh,
you
know, that would be so nice.
Right? Right down to Tampa. So anyways, so let's start the show off with this. If you were taking a long car trip, now we're talking maybe a few days, but you know, we're talking anywhere between 800 miles to 1200 to 2000, but something that would be a multi-leg journey, even in a car. Let's talk about things you may have acquired mentally that you'd like to share with people. Give me the first one.
First one is to pack a cooler with foods. Now, when we go across the border, you got to be careful about what you can take, but mainly it's for consistency of diet. Like a lot of people think and do pack, especially if they have a family, because you can pack the favorite treats for the kids, and that's really important. You can save money because you're not having to, you know, stop at sketchy places and pay a whole bunch of money, that kind of thing. But I've found if you can kind of eat things you're familiar with instead of stopping and taking a chance, I can eat something at a McDonald's here that I could eat at a McDonald's on the road, and it might affect me totally different diet-wise. So the last thing you want to do is be sick to your stomach or have headaches or aches and pains because something didn't agree with you when you're traveling. So I always like to have stuff I know that I eat and I feel good when I eat it. There's fresh fruit, there's some protein, there's, you know, usually some cheese, stuff like that, that travels well. And I can eat out of the cooler, make it a nice meal, but still eat consistently with what I would eat at home.
Cindy, we started that in 2020 when we started driving down to Florida more regularly. Because out of my paranoid mind, I was like, okay, listen, now we're not quite sure what the impact of this is, food, going to the rest stops. Let's just simplify the procedure. Let's go and pack a cooler. And what we found is one of my guilty pleasures is I love pizza. We'll either make pizza the night before or order pizza the night before and order it in such excessive quantities that we'll foil up the pizza. And if you're driving and you're trying to drive and eat, I've made the mistake. Yeah, I'll take the tuna sub from Subway and it's a mess. It goes everywhere. But like a piece of pizza that's cold in the cooler, I look forward to that all day long. But you're exactly right. Consistency. My daughter has stomach issues. Well, yeah, the last thing I want to do is, hey, you want to try that fried chicken location? Like, no, that's a terrible decision. And traveler's upset belly is like really, really rough to deal with on the roads. So that's a good tip. We also include a roll of paper towels, and we also include like a bunch of like Jewel shopping bags or you know, shopping bags from convenience stores, just to make sure we have garbage bags on hand that we can seal up and toss at the next garbage location. So good tip. What else? What else you got?
When you're doing a large, long car trip, is to make sure you watch for these little interesting spots along the road, entertainment wise, and that can be your breaks. Like, you don't have to plan, because if you plan, okay, I'm going to stop in 2 hours, chances are you're not going to find anything interesting. So you're going to stop and you're going to step out of the vehicle and you're going to circle the vehicle twice and get back in. And it really didn't do you anything as far as refreshing your mind or re-energizing you for more driving. We like to find, like on our way back home on our last trip, we saw the big sign billboard for the world's largest Christmas store. So we went in there and, you know, we thought, oh, we'll give it an hour. And we did have time that day. We had allowed time because we knew where we were stopping. We were going to want a few extra hours there. We ended up spending 2.5 hours wandering this Christmas store, and we didn't buy that much, but just looking at their little animatronic things and all their different, like any ornament you could want. Actually, Brittany did a challenge with her friends where she sent her three best friends, tell me the weirdest Christmas ornament you can think of, and we'll see if I can find it. And she found all three of them. So
where's that store though? Is that the one that John Krull talks about?
In Michigan. Yeah.
Okay. That's really cool. That's a really good advice. And I should pay attention to that closer, because usually ours consists of, you've seen the travel time that I spend. Yeah. It's gas station. It's going to the bathroom. It's getting some Twizzlers and it's back on the road. And yeah,
that's not good for your mind or your body.
Correct. At the end of that day, it's mentally exhausting. I've had it. I've been on the road for over 20 hours and it's been me driving. I can do it, but it's rough. Those 18th, 19th, 20th hour, you know, it's rough. So I need to take advantage of that better. Okay. That's really good. I do have to ask you, when you said you purchased stuff on the road, do you allocate space in your car packing wise for things you acquire, or is it all just shoved into the car and we're going to deal with it later on? How do you figure that out? Cause I've struggled with that after stopping at Bucky's. I got to know how you do that.
So we kind of ended up on the way home shoving stuff in the vehicle.
Okay.
Because we had been down visiting family and we had picked up some stuff down there and gotten some stuff from family. So the vehicle was already fairly packed. And then, you know, we stopped at a couple spots on the way home, and we didn't buy a huge amount of stuff, but it still required us. Also, I was bringing home like 2 bushels of peaches for canning. So that took up a fair bit of space. So we had to be careful what we packed where around them, and we had the cooler and that. So we ended up, we had stuff pushed under seats and in the little spaces between the back seat and the front seats and stuff. But it usually ends up being an issue, especially because, you know, you're crossing the border and they might want to search your vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. On the way back from places, I often feel like a pioneer, like in a covered wagon, because I literally... Like what is that? Is that a painting? Are you bringing a painting home? I am bringing a painting. Like, where'd you get that stuff from? So, okay. Very cool.
You always got to bring treats too, right? Like, we stopped at a cheese factory and got cheese and some of their caramel products and some of their homemade relishes and stuff. So there's always the food treats. So
nice. Okay. Give us another one. We're talking still car travel. Give us another good tip.
Okay, so the one thing is, we all use Google Maps now, and so you set your course, and on a long trip, my suggestion is you set your course when you leave the hotel in the morning. Make sure you're revising that, refreshing it, like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, because lots of times the route will change due to traffic or something that's going on, or construction, they've been notified or something like that. So if you just set it and you follow that route for the whole day, you're not using it to the best of its ability. We'll revise it every time we stop somewhere. And then sometimes it means we're going this way now, we're going that way, but it just gives you a fresh viewpoint of what's going on in the traffic. Like, it ended up saving us an hour when we were coming into Chicago that night, because we revised it about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it ended up sending us a different route because of traffic that had surged at a certain point at that time of day. So
Cindy, that's really good advice. I don't do that, and I should do that. We set the route at the morning, and I'm like, okay, which route is better, through Indianapolis or through the middle of the state? And that's it. And I trust it like the Bible, but there is many alternative versions of that travel, you know, as you approach Atlanta. I don't do that. That's really good advice. And I can think of just recently when I picked up my daughter from college, it sent me 2 different ways in a period of about 6 minutes. And I was like, oh, that's kind of fluky. I never made the connection. That's really good, especially in these long car trips. Absolutely. Around these big cities too, at 100%. Chicago's traffic it can be paralyzing. But if you take I-80 up and around 294, that's easy. It's easy peasy there. So yeah, good advice there. When you stop for gas, what does a gas stop look like for you guys? Is it a time thing? Do you guys stop and say, okay, we need to get out of the car for 20 minutes? We need to get gas. We need to get ourselves something to drink. Or is it just like, okay, you go first, I'll get gas and get the car, and then we'll switch? Or what does that look like for you guys?
Usually that's how it happens. We'll switch out on who's doing, like whoever was driving gases up, right? So when we stop, that the other person goes, uses the washroom, looks around, does whatever they want to do. If they see something interesting, they'll come back and tell you about it. Then you go, And at that point, we'll park the car. And if it's a really interesting, you know, some of the truck stops and stuff, they got lots of stuff to browse. Maybe both come back in, maybe the other one. But usually we'll have a snack then and we'll walk around a little bit and explore a little bit, that kind of thing. So it usually looks like 20 minutes to half an hour stop. We always wash the windshield, wash the lights, wash the license plate, all that good stuff, and clean up the car. At it, whenever we do a stop, we always, you know, get rid of all the garbage out of the car, get rid of containers and stuff like that, kind of reorganize and get what we need for if we're switching spaces. Maybe we want our blanket or our pillow or our jacket or something like that. We'll grab that while we're stopped and get ready for the next leg of the trip. Excuse me.
No problem. Cindy, what about things like safety? I know it sounds funny to be talking about because we're thinking, oh, it's travel, it's fun. But things like safety, theft, or any issues like that, do you do any preparation for things along those lines?
Yeah, when we pack, we always pack anything. Like we carry our basic information, you know, whatever credit card we're going to be using in the U.S. for fuel. And if we're using U.S. cash, we've got that. I've got a little baggie in the console. Other than that, once we cross the border, my passport and wallet with all my information and stuff like that is packed away in the vehicle. There's a little cubby hole thing that we pack it all the way into, which is underneath all of our luggage and stuff, which can be interesting if you get pulled over and you got to get your driver's license out. But that's a whole other story. That's another tip. Make sure you smile at the deputy.
Make sure you smile. So when we stop at gas stations, I often do a rotation, if only because when I travel, literally everything that's important to me in the world is there. I have my kids, I have my wife, I have my dogs, I have my payment methods. So we do a rotation method only because we have stopped at truck stops and we looked over and we thought, that's interesting. I'm not so sure I'm comfortable in this situation right here. And we've moved on to another truck stop. It's happened before in Southern Georgia at a very early morning. We stopped, got out. I wasn't quite comfortable in the environment, got back in, went down the road. It just didn't feel right to me. It's important to trust your instincts, but we do a rotation method, even at big places, I'm not saying Buc-ee's is dangerous. Even at Buc-ee's, we do a rotation. The kids go in first, kids go to the bathroom, get their foods. They browse, they have fun. I'm out there usually feeding the dogs. And then we do a rotation. Because people will be people. And when you look over, next time you're traveling, look over at the car next to you. They may have the windows down and they may be out of the car. They may have left the car and they're inside. That's a really bad travel tip. That's really bad, you know, preparation for it. Anything could happen to that vehicle. You have to remember, people will still do things, you know. So be proactive. I
find you're a target too when you've got out-of-state plates on your vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah, not that it happens all the time, but it can happen. And the moment you let your guard down, it's really vulnerable to feel that way when you're 825 miles from home and you're out of state and all of a sudden something's happened. So make sure that you always keep your guard up. People are there to be supportive, but not everybody. Remember that. So
we pulled over in Wisconsin on our way back at a gas station and we're doing our thing and had pulled the car over and we're just kind of standing around the car having a drink and getting organized and stuff. And this pickup truck pulls up and we didn't pay too much attention to it. And he goes, are you heading down to Ontario or back from Ontario? And he had saw our Saskatchewan plates and he had Alberta plates. And I said, we've just been down there for a wedding and we're heading back. And he said, okay. He said, I'm heading down there. He said, I was going to offer to travel with you for the rest of the way so that you ladies weren't traveling alone. I didn't know whether that was a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, that was my reaction was, interesting. So he picked up that information that it was two ladies traveling alone, which would make me nervous enough in its own right. So,
He seemed like a nice enough guy. But there was another one where we had pulled over and we were rearranging things in the back of the vehicle. And I think Brittany was looking for something she wanted. So we had the back open and they could see the four cases of peaches. And this truck pulls in pulling a horse trailer. And these two guys get out and they're like probably drunk. They're stumbling around and stuff like that. And he's like yelling across, those are some nice peaches you have there. And we like closed up the vehicle and left immediately. Like didn't even.
Yeah, there's no
smart remark I wanted to make.
Yeah, there's no version of engagement there that's good. So, no. Okay. All right. What else we got on the road?
For me, and I know some people don't feel this is necessary, but I always make sure that travel insurance is part of the trip. It's part of the budget for what we're going to spend. I make sure, you know, whether I'm checking that everything I need covered is covered through my work health insurance or through credit card that I'm going to be using or CAA that I have or whatever, but I usually add on just a basic trip interruption in case of an accident where there was some major time delay getting going again, where hotel rooms and stuff would be covered and I wouldn't have to be stressed about what's going on. Am I going to have a vehicle for the rest of the way home? Can I continue that kind of thing? Or am I going to have a way home? Are they going to pay my tickets? So that's for me. I got used to doing that when, you know, it would have been a major inconvenience now, but there would have been times when I was traveling, when we were going to see Rick's family in Southern Ontario, we could have got stopped in the States and not had the money to continue on if something had happened to our vehicle. So the travel insurance was the only way I could do it without being sick for 2 days while we traveled through the States. So,
yeah. Cindy, how do you find travel insurance if you were doing a car trip? Do you just Google it? Do you use the same company? How do you do that?
I check out the prices, but for the most part, I get a better deal going through CAA because I already have the policy. So that's okay. Traditionally what I use. I just add on to my existing car insurance. They can do it cheaper because they're already covering damage to my vehicle and they're already covering towing and stuff like that. So, but usually I Google it and just check and see where I can just pick up a particularly an accident policy for, you know, in case of an accident and there's resulting, you know, extra liability, because in the US it can be more liability than what our insurance covers from our plates and stuff like that. So
cool. Cindy, can I throw something on? Since you mentioned car insurance, I want to throw on a travel tip that I actually experienced myself last spring when I went to visit John in Michigan. I decided I wasn't going to take my personal vehicle. I rented a vehicle. And I rented a vehicle for a number of reasons. If you rent a vehicle in your area away from the airport, it's usually fairly inexpensive. But at that point, I had questioned whether one of my vehicles was going to be good for traveling at that point for that long distance. It was going to be me by myself. It was going to be 400 miles there and 400 miles back. And I thought to myself, you know, there's a number of things that could happen on this trip, but I want to mitigate some of those. I want to rent a vehicle that I know that's been maintained really well by mechanics. Not saying mine hasn't, but mine had more miles on it than the car I was going to rent. Also, that trip, I wanted something that had all-wheel drive. And I didn't want to put that mileage on my car. And I thought for the time spent in the vehicle, it wouldn't be too bad to have heated seats and whatnot. So I upgraded. It ended up costing me like $140 for 3 or 4 days to rent. It actually ended up being a Toyota RAV4. I really enjoyed the experience having a car that I knew that mileage wasn't mine. I felt like it was going to be a safe, secure vehicle. And I knew it was maintained really well. Rental cars, I know there's a stigma attached to them, but they undergo a rigorous inspection when the cars come back, even when they go back out. They have certain standards the car has to meet. They don't rent cars over certain mileages. So I would say if you're debating that and you've got a vehicle like I don't know, 70, 80, 90,000 miles, unless it's been maintained really well, consider that. It'll be one less thing on your mind. We've taken van trips down to Florida and the vans have pushed 100,000 miles. And in the back of my mind, I had the seed planted. Oh man, I hope this car makes it. I hope nothing goes wrong with this vehicle. And that's really rough when you're driving a vehicle and that's in the back of your mind. You're not enjoying that trip. You're looking at that dashboard, hoping you don't see that check engine light pop on. Just consider that if you're going to spend a lot of time on the road, that a maintained vehicle by somebody else could be, you know, just something as a stress reliever.
Even just the comfort of it. That's what Brittany drives is it's a 2022 Toyota RAV4. It's her new car. Mm-hmm. And I had suggested to her, why don't we take mine? The miles aren't going to make any difference because I'm already at 560,000 kilometers. So it's no big deal. And she just said, because mine's more comfortable and we're going on a long road trip. So, and she doesn't drive hers very much because she lives close to work. And but she has to drive to work because it's a locked compound and you have to drive in. You can't walk in. Yeah. So she drives like 5 minutes to work and 5 minutes back and, you know, rarely travels much from there. So she wasn't afraid of putting the mileage on it for this one trip, but it made a huge difference. I agreed with her afterwards, just having the comfortable, much more comfortable with the Kinect, and she's got a big, you know, like 10 inch display screen for the Google Maps and all that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, all of the safety things it has as well for lane assist and slowing you down if you get behind somebody and they're slower than you and all that kind of stuff. So it just, it was a safer way to travel, but it certainly was more comfortable too.
Nice. All right. How about one more? And then let's get into plane travel, if you don't mind.
Okay. I think the important one health-wise is to drink water and limit your sugary drinks. Because if you're going on a long road trip, because everybody thinks of a road trip, oh, we're going on this road trip and it's going to be a couple hours and we stop at the convenience store and we spend $100 on treats and, you know, our favorite sugary drinks and stuff like that. And we have this great time. But you need to consider, if you're doing a long road trip, how that cumulative buildup of things in your body is going to go if you're drinking sugary drinks again and again and again. Every time you stop at a gas station, you grab another soda or another sugary drink, you're not going to feel very good. And your body is not, that's really, really bad for, you know, fluid retention and just stressing your body. So health-wise, I would always, I have learned that drinking water 99.9% of the time is my best bet. And I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't have that addiction to deal with, but when I'm driving, I will occasionally have a coffee or something mid-afternoon if I'm going to be driving, just to make sure I'm a little extra alert. But I don't, sugary drinks and me and travel just don't mix, so I stay away from the sugary drinks.
Okay. I feel seen now that you said that, because I know you were looking right at me about drinking coffee, so there we go. But I also echo those sentiments, Cindy. I usually have a bottle, like a 16-ounce or a 24-ounce bottle of Coke Zero. At some point, you're going to laugh, at some point between, say, 3 in the morning and 5 in the morning, I usually drink that Coke Zero. I don't need the coffee. Coffee has a laxative effect on everybody in the world, so that's the last thing I need, is the laxative effect. But I could use the caffeine, and I don't want that sugar buzz, because then about 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll feel like I'm ready to go to sleep. So I usually have a Coke Zero, but everything else the rest of the day will be sparkling water. I'm not a big fan of bottled water, so I can get through with sparkling water. And it's usually in a bottle as opposed to a can, because that, I guarantee it, as soon as I open that can, I'm going to have a sudden stop, or I'm going to swerve or something, and it's going to be on me. So the bottle is also important, because I could mush that bottle up and stick it in the door, and it'll hold in the door where the bottle will conform to this space, but the can won't. But agreed, we never have a Coke or a Pepsi or a 7-Up. It just doesn't work. That high and that low crush, it just doesn't work for anybody that's driving.
Yeah, and you start to get irritable, and you start to, you know, it just, the trip starts to wear on you a lot more if you're constantly doing that up and down with the sugar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about plane travel. When you travel, we often sit back and we wonder, like, oh, this is really inconvenient. We have a 4-hour flight, and there was an hour layover, and like, that would be your dream. Let's talk about your usual travel arrangements via plane from your house. And let's just say from your house to Florida, what does that usually look like, Cindy?
Okay, so we don't have an international airport in Saskatchewan right now. They're working to get their status back since COVID. So that means we can't fly internationally out of Saskatchewan. So there's your first leg of the trip. If we're lucky, we can find a direct flight from Saskatoon to Toronto. That doesn't happen very often, because lots of times I book with Miles, but also lots of times those flights are mid-afternoon, or, you know, it just doesn't fit our schedule. So you end up with a trip that I drive 2 hours from where I live to Saskatoon. I usually spend the night because we fly out early in the morning. So then we'll leave the hotel a couple hours before. We'll have a 6 a.m. flight. We'll fly at 6 a.m. to Calgary or Edmonton, one or the other, and we usually end up late over there for a couple hours, and then we'll fly the 4.5 hours from there to Toronto. We end up laid over in Toronto for 6 to 10 hours. And then we fly from Toronto, hopefully straight to Orlando, but quite often we end up Toronto to Atlanta to Orlando. And so then it's like 3 hours and then just a little hour skip from Atlanta to Orlando. But it's minimum 3 planes up to 5.
Okay. And the time wise, we're looking at a minimum of, on the best case scenario, not including the travel from your home to, you know, overnight, you're looking at least like 10 hours, 12 hours. Is that accurate? Or
it's 24 hour from the time I leave the airport. So if you add on my travel time from home, it's more than that, but usually it's 24 hours till we touch down in Orlando.
Wow. I know that's the case by watching you, but man, I shouldn't say this, but like, I'm always like, is this worth it for her? This is a lot. So, okay. Give
you
us some
look at that as part of your vacation. You have to embrace the flights and the airports and all the fun things in the airports. And it has to be part of your vacation.
Yes.
Otherwise it wouldn't be.
Cindy, I've learned that as well too. The airports aren't just a bypass and you pass through. Like, I love browsing and walking through the Tampa airport. There's so many fun, interesting things. Orlando is the same. And if you think of it just as a place to get on the plane and then you're home and you missed it, you know what? That 3 hours, that may be excessive depending on the time of year, time of flight, but I've never been bored at an airport. When you figure out, wait a minute, they have a chapel? Wait a minute, they have an art exhibit? Wait a minute, what is that plane hanging from the ceiling? Oh, there's a story. Like, I've always been like, this is part of the trip. Wait a minute, that's really cool. I just learned something I would not know. Embrace that and you'll relax. The anxiety level comes down a little bit, you know, and you figure out, okay, this is part of the deal. So good tip.
And that kind of waylays right into one of my tips, that is during a layover, keep moving. Don't just go like, I'm all with finding my gate, making sure it's the right gate, all that kind of stuff. But then now I know I've got a couple hours, I'm going to be moving. I'm going to be going and walking here and checking this out and checking that out. If you're going to just go and sit down and plug your phone in and watch a movie or something, then you really are going to make it into a long 24 hours. So that, you know, you can't move on the plane, so that you get the blood flowing again and you're going to just feel a whole lot better as far as even the time on the plane. You're not going to get as crampy or as achy if you can use those couple hours to move around. And like I said, you don't need to be running laps or anything, but moving. You just, and the art that I have found in airports is amazing. I'm constantly taking pictures of art from the airports, that mosaics and murals and stuff, and it's unique to their city, right? They have specifically had it designed for the airport in that city, tells a story, and sometimes they have the information there. I end up buying books or things. Mm-hmm.
Good thing about books, I was just going to say, books and magazines, they're regulated in price. It's already printed on the back. The barcode tells you that book was $12.95. You know where? Over at Barnes & Noble, it's $12.95. Over at Hudson Books at O'Hare, it's $12.95. You're not going to pay a markup for books or magazines. Now, if you want to go and buy a purse or shoes or, you know, duty-free cologne or something like that, there is going to be an airport markup. So just realize that. But, you know, it's food. The food's going to be expensive in an airport. Don't be surprised when that bottle of Coke Zero costs you $3.95 and you're like, oh my good heavens. But if you get worked up over the nickels and quarters that you're going to spend, it's going to take away from just the enjoyment of the experience. Just realize it's going to be a little more expensive. But also, you can do something to mitigate that. You know, you don't necessarily need to go and buy those. You could bring Doritos. You can bring Starburst with you. You can't bring liquids, but you can bring the snacks with you.
I wouldn't recommend a water bottle, because you just dump it out as soon as you're through security. You go and fill it at one of their fillers, and that's what I usually do. And I have my water bottle. I always want my water bottle full when I get on the plane, because they never bring me enough water anyway. You get, you know, 2 little glasses during a 4-hour flight. Well, that's not. Mm-hmm. Nearly enough.
Give us something else about the airports or about plane travel, Cindy.
So as far as the layovers, my advice is always to choose to err on the side of a longer layover as opposed to tight connections. because you never know what's going to happen. And if you're just going to make it, you're looking at it and going, okay, I can make it from that side of the airport to that side of the airport. And it's giving me 50 minutes. I can do that. Guaranteed you're going to be stressing that whole flight because you're going to have gotten away 20 minutes late. And I know you've gone through that experience, but we have found it to be Murphy's Law that the minute you have that tight connection, you're worrying about making it. Half the time your luggage doesn't make it. So I always err on the side. If I have to be laid over, you know, an extra hour and a half, 2 hours, I take the longer layover, and then I'm not stressed the entire time worrying about that.
Cindy, thank goodness you said that. I experienced that with Atlanta. I won't rehash the story, but Expedia is not your friend when it comes to layovers. They simply plug and play. Okay, this flight lands at 12:30. This one leaves at 1:15. That's enough time. Book you. And you're like, okay, I could do this. You have no idea how big some of these airports are. So the Charlotte airport, it's a monster. The Atlanta airport, oh, it's a double monster. You cannot get from Terminal 1 to Terminal 3 in 15 minutes. I can guarantee you that. Want to know? Because I'm in good shape, and I couldn't, I couldn't do it. So I'm just, you're exactly right. I also had the reality that when I'm traveling internationally, I'm the kind of person that's like, okay, I can budget that layover over in Ireland. This is from Chicago to Ireland, Ireland over to Paris. And I'm going to budget that hour and 20 minutes. And I had the reality with my family. I am doing that all wrong. I'm doing that all wrong. Instead, I thought, why don't we budget ourselves 6 or 7 hours of a layover? And why don't we leave the airport? And why don't we go and have lunch? Because we might not travel to Dublin in the next 5-7 years. And this doesn't happen that often, but I thought about this with Iceland. Why am I not getting out of the airport and seeing Iceland? Why am I making that a pass-through? That's craziness. So I realized my next trip, it wasn't going to look like that. It was going to look very different on that next trip.
Yep. Make the travel part of the vacation.
Exactly. Okay. What else you got, Cindy?
Make sure you download the airline app and connect to the airline on Twitter. For updates during travel, that's where you're going to get the most update. Twitter all the time, you get the most updated travel information. You'll know about things before you even get off the plane, if there's a gate change and stuff like that, or if there's something going on at the airport. And as far as the having the app, you know, your boarding pass might say this gate, and we'll check 2 or 3 times as we're getting off the plane, and it'll change 2 or 3 times on the app. And, you know, so you don't end up going all the way to this gate and then them telling you, oh, it got changed, you're now over at this gate. So mm-hmm. And other information as well about delays and stuff like that, you get them early on and you get push notifications, so you don't have to remember to stop and check or whatever. It'll ding on your phone and you know that something has changed or it's been delayed, or, you know, I find that reassuring anyway, to be connected to the airline that way. And that's then crazy. When we did have the one issue where we ended up having to, the plane had to go back in, we had to stay overnight and get on a new plane the next day. Before we even got off the plane, we had all of our food vouchers and everything had been sent to us because of being connected on Twitter. They had Cindy,
give us a packing tip, or, you know, because I'm interested, because you pack and you fly multi-leg internationally. Give us something as far as, do you put all your stuff in the carry-on? Do you just check the bag? What do you do for that? Because people are like, oh, I hope it gets to my destination. And you're like, oh, I hope it gets to 3 destinations and then my final destination. And I know you've had stories about losing luggage too as well. So give us some packing tips.
So I bite the bullet and do the checked baggage thing, because usually we're traveling, takes us a while. So we usually travel for longer trips. We're not going for a 3 or 4 day trip. So we usually do have a checked bag and we'll have a carry-on. But my trick with that is, in the carry-on, I don't put anything that I need right away. I also have my backpack or my handbag that I have the one outfit and my little hygiene kit and, you know, all of the stuff, prescriptions, things like that, that I need right away. And then I always volunteer my carry-on to be checked as well when they ask for volunteers. Or I'll even ask right when we're checking in, are they going to be taking carry-ons for free? Because I'd leave this one here. That way, all I have moving through the airport on my layover or keeping track of is my backpack. It's not a big deal going to the washroom or whatever. I don't have a carry-on to keep track of and stuff like that. So I make sure I have what I need for the 24 hours in my backpack, and I get to move fairly freely. If I need to, well, I want to get up and move around and stuff like that. I'm not saddling, you know, Brittany with sitting with my stuff and she can't leave for the bathroom or whatever without taking it all. So that's my packing trip, is just have that one little bag of necessities, and everything else goes in bags that can be checked, and then volunteer to check it when you're checking in, or if they ask for carry-ons to be checked, volunteer it. Then it makes all those stops for you. You're not picking it up. It even goes through customs for you now. You don't have to pick it up and take it through customs. They go through and you just sit there, and when your bags have gone through, your name flashes up on the screen, and then you can go and go do your thing. You're moving on. So
being quick and nimble at the airport's really important, especially when you're going to the bathroom, things along those lines. Here's what I've observed just from my trips from Chicago to Florida. If you're flying a low-cost carrier, we're talking JetBlue, we're talking Spirit, not Southwest, but like Spirit, Frontier, something along those lines. If you think your bag is going to, if you're not going to carry on your personal bag, which is a backpack, if you think your carry-on is going to be too big or you need a check bag and you're going to go to the airport and you're going to talk your way through it, those airlines have firm policies on check bags. They have slots for your luggage. I've seen airlines like United kind of look the other way when you walk on. I've not seen a low-cost carrier look the other way. And as a matter of fact, I've seen arguments and I've seen fights, and I've never seen a passenger win one. Never. So Spirit is absolutely hardlined that if it doesn't fit on its own and drops through the slot, it's $99 for each bag. If you paid for that ahead of time, it was significantly cheaper and you didn't have to worry about the anxiety and stress and the fight that a passenger has never won at the airport. I've watched many and I've always thought to myself, why'd you do that? Why'd you come here today with that attitude? Why? You knew you were going to bring that bag with you. Why didn't you just pay for that ahead of time? So look at what you're going to bring onto your trip, and you may find a significant discount, but you also may find it just more enjoyable that you know you don't have that fight coming up. They will not let you on. You will not talk through it. You just have to realize what the spacing and size is. Go on the website. You'll find it. Take out your tape measure. Look at the size of your bag. You can figure out what fits and what doesn't. I've also seen a woman, and so I felt bad for her. She must not have been a regular traveler. It was my wife and I. We ended up going to Florida, but we had to go into Fort Lauderdale first and then shoot back towards Orlando. And the woman was going onto a cruise, and she was bringing toys for her kid. The toys were in their original packaging. So when she got there, she literally had this plastic bag that you would buy from a store that was like one of those polyethylene bags that you put. They were in the packaging. It did not fit. They were going to tell her it was $100 for her to get that bag on the plane. She was like, I have $40 in toys. They weren't budging. They weren't budging. The woman decided what she was going to do was she was going to open the packaging there, leave all the packaging in the airport to condense the bag down. It still didn't fit. And there was no movement in either direction. But my question was, why'd she do that in the first place? Like, I didn't want to judge her, but it was like, ma'am, you must have known that there was going to be a fee. I don't know how it resolved itself. This was one that I was happy to look the other way and walk onto the plane and let everyone else figure this out. But like a little bit of forward advanced knowledge, research, and understanding of what the policies are and the pricing is, it will save you a heck of a lot of stress going forward.
And don't believe the hacks on TikTok, because I have seen that portrayed as a hack on TikTok, where they've said, if you buy it and you put it in a bag and it looks like it's all stuff that you just bought, they'll let you carry it on. If it's brand new stuff that you just bought at the airport, they'll let you carry it on. It won't be a problem. So she maybe was thinking, oh, it'll just look like brand new stuff that I just bought at the airport. They'll let me carry it on. So don't believe everything that you read on or see on TikTok as a hack for getting on the airplane. Like you said, research whatever airline you're flying, because they all have different rules. But we ran into the same instance, our last connection out of Toronto. There was a group of young dancers getting on to go to Florida to compete, and they had their dance costumes in their carry-ons, but their carry-ons were too big. And they were being told this doesn't match the size. You can't. And they were saying, well, we have to have them. We can't check them. They were just saying, like, you can check them for free. We'll just check them. And they said, well, we can't check them. We got to make sure that we have these costumes when we get there. They're our dance costumes. And she said, well, these bags cannot go. And they were not winning that argument. And she said to them, I will let you watch them loaded on, like, you can stand here at the window and watch them load these bags onto the airplane. And the dance crew still, they didn't end up on the plane when we left. So I don't know what the resolution was. So,
yeah,
but they were, there was a lot of ignorant dance moms.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think that the airline was inclined to be at all accommodating after the abuse they were getting, but.
Yeah, that goes a long way too. That's not necessarily a tip. That's a people tip, is that that airline representative, they're told the policy and they have to follow the policy. It's reflective of, you know, on their employee agreement page, this is what they have to do. So it's not her policy. It's the company's policy, but they take a lot of verbal abuse. And they react accordingly. But if you treat it with respect, you know what? I have often found that it just comes back to you, but that anger and that hostility, they've dealt with it all day long. And you know what they don't want to deal with? You. I can guarantee you they don't want to deal with you. So you're going to get it going back to them. Yeah, I could imagine. And the thing that the airline has that most other people don't is they have a no-fly list. And they have... they have security at the airport. And if you feel like getting froggy and you feel like being mouthy, they've got someone in their back pocket they can call. It doesn't work out for the traveler. I smirk and I laugh thinking about how people use their personalities and think it's going to work and they're going to push their way. It never works. It never works, but it happens. Almost every flight I see something happening, you know, so. Yeah. Anyways, all right, give us one more. Give us an airplane. Give us your best airplane tip that you've got left, Cindy.
Well, this is to do with airline travel, but we always end up renting a car when we get there. And the last thing you want to do after 24-hour flights and layovers is stand in a long line for the car rental. So the one trick we've learned with the car rentals is that there's always three or four that are affiliated with whichever one you rented. So we always rent Alamo because that's the one I use through work. And that's the one that's connected to our work. And I get points and all that kind of stuff, get a better deal. But National and Enterprise are also affiliated with them. So when we go to check out our car, we can go to any one of those counters. We don't have to go to Alamo because the line is always long there when the planes are all just deboarding. And they will check us through because they're affiliated.
Really good tip. I've been in that line at Orlando. I've been in that line for like an hour and 20 minutes late at night. It's regretful. Good tip.
And you can do the straight to car, but half the time, because we're coming from Canada, we can't do that because they have to see our Canadian driver's license and make sure it's got the thing on it that allows us to drive internationally. So we tried doing the straight to car. That didn't work for us, but this is the one tip that does work, is we can go to one of these other lines. We just pick whichever line is the shortest and we get in that.
Okay, let me ask you, I just thought of another question because you mentioned Canadian driver's license. What do you do for documentation? Let's say you're going on a trip and you're like, okay, screenshot flight information, screenshot flight information, screenshot rental car agreement, screenshot whatever you need, your hotel reservation. Is that how you save your documentation? Or what do you do as far as proving having stuff ready to roll? Because we're so connected via our phones nowadays.
So I do, we use our phones, we get our boarding passes electronically and stuff like that. But I also will have paper copies of them, just because you never know when the technology is not going to be in your favor, not going to work in your favor. And you've got those paper copies right there. You can check it out. And I'm one of those people that likes to check things mid-trip too, and just go, what time was we leaving again? Because I always forget. So I don't have the Wi-Fi on the airplane, so I can just, you know, open up my folder and go, okay, yeah, that's the amount of time we have. So if we start to get late, I can check on and see how much time our layover was, you know, relax, that kind of thing. So I always do print out the paper copies. I always have a paper copy of my passport and my driver's license in there as well. So if I was to lose my, you know, personal items or something like that at once I'm at my destination or during travel, somehow it get lost, I would have this paper copy of everything that I need to get going again. So
good tip. I worked with a guy that once used this catchphrase all the time. He was a former commander of a police force. And he said, if it's predictable, it's preventable. So I think that holds true to travel too as well. If you could predict there's a chance of you losing power on your phone or losing this, there's an easy way to go and solve that issue. And that's, you know, make duplicates or print out a copy. So that's really good as far as that goes.
We do have to be more careful. I mean, we're Canada to the US. So, I mean, our phones don't always work the way that they're supposed to. Our connection server or whatever doesn't always roll over the way that it's supposed to automatically when we cross the border. Sometimes it can take a couple hours to connect and decide that they're going to allow us to use our phone. So I always have to have the paper copies to, I've got paper copies of our insurance. I've got paper copies of my work insurance and health plan. I've got paper copies of my driver's license. I've got paper copies of my auto insurance because we use our own auto pack as insurance on the rental car, and paper copies of the driver's license and anything that we're going to need. I carry a paper copy of all my current prescriptions and stuff like that as well, so that if I was to need to replace any of them, I could do that.
Okay. Let me put you on the spot and ask you one last question. It's not a tip. I'm looking for a story. Okay. And you didn't prepare for this. So let me see if you got one. This will tell us your kind of wacky travel experiences. Can you recall a very strange travel moment or travel story through the airport? What was like the craziest thing you've seen at the airport, or the thing that made you say, really? Do you have any of those in your mind that you can share with us? Something unique. It could be from Canada to Canada, Canada to the US, US back to Canada. Do you have a story?
Well, there's always stories when you're going through customs. There's always somebody that forgets to take the bullets out of their backpack or something.
Never mind. That's not Sydney or me, by the way, people. I'm just going
to say that is common to forget. Traveling with my husband, we're going to Mexico. We made it to Mexico. We're coming back from Mexico. And this, so we had flown out of Calgary to Puerto Vallarta. Then we were flying back. We had to fly Puerto Vallarta to Minneapolis to Saskatoon. So we've got to stop in the States. Things are a little different. So we're going through security in the States, and here he's got his switchblade hunting knife in his case. We had made it all the way to Mexico and almost all the way home. And he had this switchblade, like 6-inch switchblade that he just carries it all the time. That's his knife. He's always got a knife in his pocket. He's always got a knife in his shaving kit that he, you know, uses if he needs to cut anything, right? He's a farm boy. And he had taken the one out of his pocket, forgot he had one in his shaving kit, and it was in his carry-on. And here we are trying to board the plane with him with a switchblade.
Wow.
But the worst one for me was when I stayed in the hotel overnight and went to the airport the next morning, nice and early. You got to be there 3 hours early for an international flight, all this good stuff. So I'm there nice and early. They scan me and I come up with residue of something. And they won't tell me what it is. They just start asking me about all my medications and what I do for work. Do I come in contact with firearms or explosives or anything like that? And so I ended up 2 hours going through security. They did the whole, they brought my suitcase back, my check bags back. They went through all of them and checked for any residue. They didn't find any residue on the inside of my backpack. It was on the outside of my backpack, and it was on the jeans that I was wearing. So the only thing I can think of is that somebody had something in the hotel room they stayed at, and I had sat on the couch and thrown my backpack on the couch, and it got onto me, and I got to go through the whole, like, they brought an RN in to check and see if any of the medications that I take could have been bringing up this response. And they never would tell me what I had, but I could see as soon as they swabbed it that the alarms went off red. And then I was off into another room and got to take my everything but my underwear off so they could check everything. And, you know, they're swabbing all different parts of your body and they go through your wallet and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah. Well, I would, Cindy, the reason I even asked that question was this: things are going to go wrong in anyone's travel, car or plane. And to have a flight or an experience go through without a hitch. It's a rarity. There's always a hiccup. And sometimes the hiccups can seem a little more dramatic than not. Just remember to stay calm in that environment and be respectful and be polite. Your intention, if you're listening to this show, if you're a listener and you're listening to this particular episode, your intention is to just get to the destination. You're not trying to cause a ruckus. You're not trying to bring chaos. Just be polite, be respectful. Cindy, I'll tell you my experience recently. At Tampa, I flew back home bringing two candles that I bought from Bucky's. And we have a candle at my house almost all the time on. The bag got flagged immediately, pulled to the side. Before I even had a chance, they came over and they wanted to do a search on me. And they asked me, do you want to go in a different room? And I was like, no, have at it. Go ahead. You know, boom, boom, boom. There was no issues. It took him a while to come over and look at the bag. He found the candle. He opened the candles. He smelled the candles. He inspected it. And I thought, this is really excessive. And he realized it was full. And he said to me, because people will literally construct candles where it's wax, it's material, and then it's wax on top. And the wax is to go and cover the scent, you know, or cover the look of it. And I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. So in something that you're completely dismissing, you realize people can use it for malicious nature. It was okay. Actually, the guy ended up talking about Bucky's, and it was, I mean, I thanked him for stopping me and, you know, and doing that and being so secure in that environment. But remember to stay calm, be professional, you know, treat the guy with respect or the woman with respect. They're just doing their job. That'll help you get through the experience better. So
exactly.
Okay. So if you have any questions, and let's say you've got this trip, you're going to Philadelphia, to Denver, to California, and it's multi-leg and you're nervous about the experience. What's the best way to get a hold of you? Because you're like the number one resource for this. How can people get a hold of you, Cindy? Where can they find you?
Easiest way for people listening here is to connect on EDCOT, the Facebook group for the WDU review. Other than that, I'm on Facebook, but I don't use my Facebook very much. So
find us in EDCOT, right, Cindy? That's the best way.
Option is to find me in EDCOT, yes.
No problem, because people will have questions. There are a lot of people that are going to be taking trips soon. Lisa Yost from EDCOT. This is her first plane trip in a long time. She's going to visit Walt Disney World for the first time in a
while. I know. I'm so excited for her.
So excited. Yeah, you can see the excitement that she's just so happy to go and do this. So, but reach out to Cindy if you got any questions. She is literally the resource for this. I would have full confidence in all of her answers. And, you know, for listening, we hoped we gave you some good tips today. And for joining us, we'd like to thank you, and we want to wish you a great day.
Thank you.